Everyone, welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, show after show, breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen are just dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're not. We are smart, we are savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life, and I'm looking forward to bringing today's guest in. Catherine O'Brien is a licensed marriage and family therapist and the founder of HappyWithBaby.com. She knows what it is like to be overwhelmed, out of energy, and out of ideas as a new parent. She created Happy with Baby in order for new and expecting parents to discover the advice she wishes she could have had when managing expectations of parenthood and relationships. After giving birth to her first child, Catherine realized that adding a baby into a relationship dynamic changes everything. She discovered her passion for helping new parents to communicate and thrive through this transition, equipping them to be effective caregivers with a happy marriage. Catherine acts as a California State Coordinator for Postpartum Support International and has also helped to establish a Mother's Heart in Sacramento, where mothers with perinatal and anxiety disorders go to receive support. Additionally, she participates in the Sacramento Maternal Mental Health Collaborative. Catherine is married to her husband, Rick, who shares his advice on parenting and creating healthy relationships in Happy with Baby. Together, they have a son and a daughter who both play soccer, where Catherine gets to assume the role of coach. Apart from working as a family therapist, speaker, and educator, Catherine enjoys paddleboarding and rowing. She and her family live in Sacramento, California, and you can follow her on Facebook at Happy with Baby and on Instagram and on her website. So with all of that being said, Catherine, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here, Dori. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure, and kudos to you, because parents need the support. You know, let's face it, as new parents, they don't give you a book. They don't give you a rule book. You have to have a license to drive a car and to fish. But, you know, they just give you a baby. It's like, yeah, good luck.
It is shocking to me that they do. I was like, I can't believe they're letting me go home with this baby. And I have no experience. I have no idea what I'm doing. I mean, I took those classes in the hospital, but I just can't believe they would let us go home with him.
You know, it really is funny. And, you know, for me, I had coached in the delivery room four times before I had my first child. So I had a very different, I had always babysat. I was always with kids. But my cousin, the first diaper she ever changed was her son's.
Yeah.
Same thing with my son, my grandson who just turned three. His mother's first diaper was his.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. It can really be overwhelming. So talk us through what made you write your book and just share with us that feeling of how you're helping women.
Well, it goes back. My oldest just turned 12 a couple months ago, and it started then. No, so I was a marriage and family therapist, and I have been now for almost 20 years. And my husband and I, had been married briefly when I found out I was pregnant, but we had been together like 5 years. And I was like, yeah, this will be great. Like, we want kids, you know, it's a little bit sooner than I had anticipated, but you know, we're ready to go. We have a good relationship. We like each other. And then, you know, we took the classes for preparing for that day, the day of the birth, but there wasn't much. And there was, I think we did take a class on, you know, how to change diapers and that sort of thing. And then he showed up and he moved in. And he had a lot more, I mean, I knew they slept and they went, you know, had dirty diapers and stuff like that, but I didn't realize how much time that would really take. Like, and that when he would sleep, he wasn't necessarily sleeping between the hours that I wanted to sleep. Like he, you know, had his own little schedule that there was like effort and work. I guess I don't know. Like I had read things, I heard things, but I guess I just was not prepared that it would be as hard as it was, and it being difficult for me and how tired I was, that it would take a toll on my relationship with my husband, and just found us like kind of getting resentful towards each other, agitated. Everything he did seemed to upset me, or, you know, he wasn't doing the things I thought he should be doing, and probably vice versa. And I also started attending moms groups, and I would hear these other moms, and I thought I was having a hard time, but I'd hear other moms talk, and I was thinking, oh, wow, some of them are having an even harder time. Why was I not prepared for this? Like I'm a relationship therapist and I do these things. And I think the final straw was on my way to work one Saturday, because I had changed my schedule around so my husband could watch our son. I was hysterical. I was like crying. Like I got into some argument with my husband, which to this day, I couldn't tell you what it was about. And I was crying and I called my girlfriend and I was like, what did I get myself into? This is horrible. Like, I don't know what's wrong with Rick. Like, why is, you know, and she just kind of like talked me off the cliff, and I'm like, I'm supposed to go help people and I can't even help us, you know, like what is happening? So she talked me off the cliff, and I was just like, yeah, why wasn't I prepared? And started just keeping in mind, like all the things I wish I would have known. I wish I would have known how tired I'd be, how to have better communication, how the magnitude of the household management was going to change, how our interactions with each other were going to change, and how to kind of keep that intimacy going, how to handle dealing with like other family members, like in-laws and stuff like that. Like, I didn't realize like how that would look and the stress of some of that would be, and how do we communicate and make sure we're staying on the same page. So I just kept, and then just even overall, just mental health. And so I just was keeping this, you know, running list of things that I felt ill prepared for, and was given an opportunity to teach a workshop. And I decided to call it Mine, Yours, Ours, Relationship Survival Guide to Baby's First Year. And it was this kind of some tips. And my husband ended up teaching it with me as he helped me prepare. And I was like, oh, you're so good. you know, like I would say something and, you know, he would kind of like tweak it a little bit. And, you know, he's the public speaker. He does that really well. And I'm like, oh, you're just really good at this. I wish you were teaching this with me. And he's like, yeah, I would teach this with you. And we were given the opportunity to do it together. And so now over 11 years, we've been teaching it together and kind of put it all into a book, and with some stories that go along with it of different couples and stuff that we have kind of worked with over the years. And yeah, I guess it was like my passion, right? Like, I'm just like, I just wish I had known. I wish I had been better prepared. I wish I would have known that I wasn't the only one that struggled, that there wasn't something wrong with me because I found it so difficult, feeling isolated there until I started hearing other mom stories. Because back 12 years ago, there was an Instagram, or maybe I was on Facebook. I don't know. But there wasn't the groups like there are today where you hear other people, and what they're saying is like, I had to like go in person to like the local groups and stuff. And it was so helpful. And so it made things less isolating for me. And so I just kind of wanted to put something together to help other people. So
I like the different stories. And one of the things that I like that is very reinforced is that it's not mom's way and the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
It's mom's way and dad's way, that each of us have our own style and how we mm-hmm. do things. Because mm-hmm. I think that that is something that especially new moms really struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, no, this is how it has to be done. And everybody has their way. So
yeah,
it's so easy for babies to take over our lives.
Yes.
How do you help people maintain that sense of self and finding that purpose outside of motherhood?
That's a hard one. I feel like I've been having that discussion a lot recently with people, especially having been home and not having a lot of outlets to get to this last year. And so that's been a huge one, even for moms of the older kids. our book is broke down into like three categories. And so the first one is my first question is, what are you doing to make sure you're taking care of yourself? And I think it's important that we continue to always look at what do we need for ourselves, for that like self-care from the basic, yes, you need a shower. That's not necessarily self-care. That's like basic needs, right? But also like, but making sure that you're getting those times in there for yourself. Like I'll have moms tell me, I don't know how my husband seems to be able to get a shower and work out. And I never do. I'm like, because he takes it. He's not asking for permission. Like oftentimes I find that we're waiting for permission to go and do these things for ourselves. We don't need permission. We need to say, this is what I need and I'm going to take it. And I think the more we practice doing it, the easier it gets to do.
Well, you know, let's face it, your dynamic with your partner will change.
Yes.
After becoming parents. So how do you help make sure that it heads in the right direction?
Well, it goes to the second question, which is the second section of our book, which is that, what are you doing to make sure you're connecting with your partner? And this is from basic like check-ins, like everyday check-ins, like, how are you doing? What do you need? You know, what's going on? How is your day? Like things like that, to making sure that you're getting, you know, time that's not just doing, you know, splitting tasks of like, I'm doing these chores, you're doing these chores, we're just kind of passing in the day, but we're spending like quality time together, whether we're going out on a date or we're spending like quality time as a family or doing something like that, but making sure that we're connecting and feeling like we're on the same page, that the things that we do, like if we're dealing with, you know, say in-laws or something, that we're on the same page together. Maybe we don't always agree, but how do we compromise for different situations so that we present as like a united front? And I think it's continuously, because things change so much. And I think it's acknowledging that the things have changed, like life is totally different, but how do we still keep some of the things we also, that we like to do? And even if it's adjusted as how we do them, but that we continue to do some of the things that we like to do as a couple, but even as individuals.
So important. You were saying about how not to ask permission, you know, and as moms, we really do. Oh, honey, is it okay? Will you watch the baby? They never mm-hmm. ask us, will we watch the baby?
Right.
You know, how right. do you do that? How, what do you do to make that self-care important for yourself and to find that way to ask for what you need?
Yeah. And I think, and this is hard because I think so many of us, myself included, I would ask like my husband, finally is him pointing out to me. He's like, you don't have to ask me. Like, I'm not giving you permit. Like, I'm not your parents. I'm not going to give you permission to do this. Just tell me what you want, you know, which I think is another problem. Sometimes we don't know what we want. So I think there's a lot of things in there that we've got to like work through. But I think it's like saying, what is it that I need? Like, I know I need connection with friends. Like I need to meet with other moms, or I need to meet with my girlfriends from wherever, you know, like I need to meet with other people because that helps fill my cup. Or like, I know I need downtime and I like to be in the house by myself for a while. So I'm going to tell my husband, hey, take the kids, go do something. I want to be home or whatever, or like go, you know, encouraging him to do something, or saying, hey, I'm going to meet up with my friends and do this. We can eat. I was planning on doing it on Saturday afternoon. Does that work for you? Because then I know somebody's going to be watching the kid. Oh, it doesn't? Okay, well, do we find someone else to watch the baby for us? Or how can we compromise and figure out how do we figure this out together? But I'm not saying like, is it okay if I go out and having him say, no, I already have plans. Like, that's not, you know, and maybe it's like one Saturday he does something, the next Saturday you do something, but making sure that you're each getting that time in there and checking in on a regular basis, like looking at your calendar, going over like, what are the things that need to happen and where do we fit in this like self-care? And maybe it doesn't look the same every week or every day, but what are the little ways that we can make sure we're getting time for ourselves in? And it, what we need might be different from week to week. Maybe I need more rest this week because the baby's been up and fussy or teething or whatever. And so I just need extra rest. And maybe this week, you know, I'm getting more rest and I really want to go out and take a new workout class, or I really want to go, you know, shopping or whatever it is, you know, and figure out what it is that you need that week for yourself.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a moment here on Word of Mom Radio.
Have you been curious about CBD? Maybe you heard it helps relieve stress and balance your body, but you're not sure where to start? The most important thing when you're thinking about CBD is choosing a brand you trust and feel confident in. Altwell is a high quality and effective CBD line. It's a family business with four generations in the wellness industry, and they poured all their experience, knowledge, and passion into making modern wellness attainable. Altwell uses only the highest quality, ethically grown hemp, carefully selected from Colorado farms. They triple test every product, and with every purchase, you can access a lab report so you can see exactly what you're getting. If you're new to CBD, a great place to start is with topicals like Altwell's balms and lotions to help ease achy muscles and their serums to moisturize and brighten your skin. Altwell is offering Word of Mom listeners a special discount so you can try it for yourself. All you have to do is go to altwell.com and use code ALTWELLMOM at checkout for 25% off your first purchase. Exclusions apply.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than one in four children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404 or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
Don't let the name fool you, because stadiumbags.com has a line of clear bags that enable you to use your phone and your smart devices without removing them from your bag. Not only that, but the product is so good it'll stand up to the cleaning solvents that you need to use now to make sure that when you come home safely. So take a look at stadiumbags.com. You'll see why we're your clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag. And we are back here on Word of Mom Radio. We are talking with Catherine O'Brien, and we've been talking about her book, Happy with Baby, Essential Relationship Advice When Partners Become Parents. And I really like what you are saying. And, you know, let's face it, as new moms, how do we find a way to love that postpartum body? Mm. You know, we may have an episiotomy scar. We may have stretch marks, love handles that weren't there, milk flowing out of our body. How do we find that love back?
Yes, I feel like we're really good at focusing on everything that we're not doing or what's not working or is dysfunctional. And so I say, start with, what do you love? Like, what is going well? Like, you know, some people, yeah, overproduce milk. Some people underproduce milk, get frustrated. You know, some people lose weight fast. Some people never feel like they lose the weight. You know what? But I say, like, focus on what your body is doing for you. That is getting, you're getting up every day and you're taking care of this amazing little person that's come into your life and is strong and has done all these things. And maybe it's let you down in some ways, but in a lot of ways, like, you're still here, you're still showing up, and focus on what it is giving you and feeling good about that. And then focusing on making sure that you're taking care of yourself, making sure that you're getting your rest where you can, making sure that you're eating the things that you need to eat, and things will start changing and growing from there. But if we're always telling ourselves what is wrong and what's not good, that's not ever, you're never going to have the body or the, that you want, because it's never, it's constantly being ridiculed, you know?
Moms, all I have to say, you know, I've got to throw my two cents in here.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your postpartum body, my daughter's 28. I still would like to lose the last 10 pounds of baby.
Yes, yes.
But you know what? Our bodies grew a human being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Love your body. Yeah. Look at what your body did. For those nursing mothers, not only did you grow that baby, your body then fed that baby after it came out of you,
mm-hmm.
not only while it was inside of you. So, oh my gosh, because there are a lot of women who can't have kids
mm-hmm.
and who would love nothing more than to have stretch marks,
mm-hmm.
you know, and things like that. So, you know, it is a total gift.
Mm-hmm.
It really is an amazing, remarkable thing when you really think about what a woman can do.
Right.
It's really. Absolutely remarkable. So in that finding that love of yourself and everything, how do you bring that passion back, you know, after baby comes? Because let's face it, for some moms of having mm-hmm. sex, are you kidding? I mean, think about the thought of a tampon, let alone sex. You know? So really,
yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah. No, it can be scary. I mean, I've had moms that told their husbands they were never released from the doctor to have sex, and it had been months because they were so afraid of what it was going to be like. So I say, go slow. You're testing things out. Everything has shifted and moved and feels different than it ever did before. And so it's like kind of like a new body, a new relationship. So treat it as, you know, delicate like that. Like you're not just rushing in and, you know, doing things the way you've always done, but trying to figure out what's different, what feels good now that didn't feel good before. But go slow and communicate with your partner about it. Like, let them know, because oftentimes I'll have the partners tell me, like, I didn't know, like, that she was so afraid, or, you know, and that they care about you. They don't want to hurt you. They don't want to make it uncomfortable. You know, they want to be with you. And oftentimes I think that's the pressure, is they're wanting to have sex because they want to be with you. And sometimes we're like, I don't want to have sex. I don't feel right in my body. I don't like how I look, you know, with the lights on or all these things. And they don't notice our flaws the way we notice our flaws. So it's important, I think, so important to be communicating how you're feeling and your hesitations, and then they can give you that reassurance, and they can, you know, they can go slow and they can remind you of your strengths and all the things that they see and how they see you, because it's probably a more accurate description than how we see ourselves at that point.
You know, I read in Cosmo one time, and this woman was talking about her postpartum body. How do I know if my husband still finds me attractive? And the woman's response was, if there's an erection coming your way, trust me, you're turning him on. It was so succinct and kind of like, oh, but, you know, yeah. Men, we see ourselves so differently mm-hmm. than our partners do.
Yeah.
You know, I remember my friend talking about her poochy belly after her baby, and I'm like, he's watching your boobs bounce. Yeah, not looking at the belly.
No. Yes.
It is. But it is, you know, it's so hard because so much of society
mm-hmm.
puts this image of what women are supposed to look like in our minds.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's through the centuries. If you look 200 years ago, somebody put up a thing about, wow, you know, you look at the pandemic 100 years ago, the rheumatesque women. Yeah. No wonder guys liked big women, because they were all stuck in the house, kind of a thing. It's,
yeah,
each one of us, our bodies are remarkable, whatever
right.
shape or size we're in, you know?
Yeah. And I think the thing that, and our kids don't care either. I mean, I haven't lost the last 10, 20 pounds since and it's been 8 years, right? And my little one will be like, oh, mom, you're just the best mom. I just love you so much. Like, she's not like, oh, mom, you haven't lost those 20 pounds. You'd be a better mom if you lost 20 pounds. No, they don't care. That's not a thing. That doesn't make you a good mom or anything, you know? So, and I think the other thing I wanted to say too about the partners is sometimes I'll have partners and they won't ask for sex because they don't want to put the pressure on. So it's another reason, like, not to put more, you know, responsibility on moms or anything, but to let them know, like, hey, I am like where you're coming from, to give them that door to be able to start communicating. Because sometimes they just won't say anything because they don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. So they're going to wait for you to say something, but you're not saying anything because you're scared. And then nobody's saying anything. And then you're both feeling like, my partner doesn't want me. So talk about that. Hey, just so you know, this is where I'm at. Yeah.
One of the things I really like about the book is talking about creating that schedule for you, your baby, mm-hmm. and your partner, and mm-hmm. scheduling dates.
Yeah.
Actually taking that time for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, how hard do you find that for some of the people that you work with?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it doesn't happen for a really long time. And it didn't happen for us either. And I joke about this a lot. I think I even mentioned this in the book, is I know when my husband and I need to spend some time together, like I have a date or quality time together, because everything he does drives me crazy. He stands in the kitchen in the wrong spot. He leaves water on the bathroom sink, like all the things, right? Drive me crazy. And then I'm like, oh, we just need some like quality time together where we're having fun, like doing something like we like to do together. That's a good, and we actually have been good about doing like the regular date night, and it's just kind of worked out. Ours is usually Saturday night. It doesn't have to be like a Saturday night thing. It could be an afternoon thing, like a Friday afternoon or a Sunday morning, or, you know, something where you're like, okay, this is just going to be our time. Ideally, if you can have like a regular sitter or something, or you have a family member that wants to do it. I like weekly because I think that's good. I think weeks of date a week isn't enough, you know, but I think if you even have it like scheduled, like every month, like, hey, this is what we're going to do. We know we have this time. All we have to do is figure out what we want to do. We don't have to be searching, you know, for a babysitter or anything like that. We're just gonna, we know we have this set up, and now we're just going to plan what we're going to do.
How do parents stop keeping score? well, you do this and I do that. You know, how do we get that navigation back to normal where you're not keeping score?
Yeah. That was one of our biggest struggles, is we were both keeping scores. And what we realized when we, you know, it all came to a head was that our scorekeeping was completely different. And, you know, he saw things one way and I saw things a completely different way. And I would score, you know, like I would score breastfeeding this many points and he'd score, you know, so it was terrible scorekeeping. And so there's just no way to do it, right? There's no way. I don't think there's an accurate way to ever measure what you're doing to take care of your child. And my best suggestion is that you, again, continue to check in with each other and communicate, because it was in the middle of the night that it came to a head for us. And we talked the next morning and he felt he was doing everything in the middle of the night. And I, of course, was like, of course, I'm doing everything in the middle of the night. And nothing changed, really changed. But the fact that we were able to talk about it and acknowledge, like, it was hard for both of us in some of the same ways, but in some of different ways also. And that we were both frustrated, and what could we do to make things easier? Because, and I think that was the thing, is like, we needed more help. We needed, you know, to take some things off our plate and figure out how could we get more rest, because that was causing a lot of our conflict, because we were just so exhausted and just spread way too thin. So it's like, how do we get more help, is basically what we needed. So I think it's like, if you're feeling overwhelmed and you're feeling like you're keeping score, I think oftentimes there's too much, you have too much going on, and how do you help lighten the load? And sometimes maybe your partner is doing more stuff, and sometimes maybe you're doing more things because of whatever the situation is. But again, continually to check in about what it is that you both need in this moment, in these moments.
You know, I'm sitting here, I'm smiling, and I'm thinking to myself, my first son never cried. He mm-hmm. would make this little, he'd go, when he was waking up to eat. So for that first 2 weeks, my children's dad, I'd get up, you know, I had him in a cradle right by the bed. He'd get up and get me a glass of water, mm-hmm. me while I was nursing. And 2 weeks in one day, baby woke up, daddy didn't. And that morning he was like, oh, honey, the baby slept through the night. I'm like, no, sweetheart, you slept through the night. The baby woke up. You know?
Yeah.
So, but my children's dad was an Olympic rower. He had a tree business. I mean, he only saw his kids. So funny. What I did with my son was 2 weeks, 4 days when his umbilical cord fell off and mm-hmm. dad was in the shower and I flung back the curtain and I said, here's your son, because he only saw the kids for about an hour and a half mm-hmm. a day in the evening from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. My kids went to bed at 8 o'clock. So did my husband.
Mm.
So that was their time. I had him bathe them. I would pump a bottle. And my mother-in-law was like, I don't think you should make Daniel give the kids a bath and put them to bed. I said, first, I didn't ask your opinion.
Yes.
But second, that is the only time he gets to see them. And that's why they are as close to their dad as they are.
Right.
Because they had that time. I got pregnant with my second son. My son was 9 months old, had just stopped nursing and got pregnant. So there was Danny at 18 months old playing at his father's feet. Robbie's umbilical cord fell off. I'm like, here's your other son. Comes out the curtain. And then my daughter, 2.5 years later, both boys are playing at daddy's feet. I'm like, here's your daughter.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was I kind of made that executive decision.
Yeah.
And I, you know, for me, I didn't go anywhere. I would sit in the living room because they wouldn't drink from a bottle. Mm-hmm. Even though they were drinking me, they could smell me, they wanted me.
Yes, yes.
So I gave them that time. And so in the evening, I mean, I was cleaning the dishes and stuff like that, but it still, it gave them that little bit of bonding time. I remember showing him how to change our daughter's diaper and how to wipe a girl.
Yeah.
And he's like, should I even be doing this? And I was like, of course you should, Dan, you're her father. You know, it's okay. But I mean, it is, it's kind of traumatic for a guy. The first time he has to change his daughter's diaper, you know, boys are simpler. So, but really as moms, to let dad not only participate, but feel confident in that participation.
Yeah.
You know, even though you're holding your breath because you know they're not doing it right.
Right.
They are.
Well, and that's where my third section of the book comes from. It's what are you doing to make sure that you're bonding and connecting with your baby? And I originally added that question because I was working with a lot of moms who were micromanaging their partners and like telling them how to do it. And I was like, no, you have to step back because if you micromanage and you tell them how to do it, they're either going to get irritated and stop doing things or be resentful and annoyed at you. And it's not going to enhance their relationship with their child. And I agree. My husband did the bath time from the very early days of giving our kids. And it's like, it bought me either I could relax for a little bit. Maybe I would do the dishes so we could hang out at the end, like whatever had to happen. And it made a huge difference. And he has a strong relationship with him. I never checked in on him on what he was doing. I figured he'd figure it out. And I tell people all the time, we all have our own learning curve. Like maybe I'm doing a good job putting my kid down for a nap or whatever, but I didn't do that from day one. I had to figure out what were the things. I had to learn my child's cues and things like that. And then when I did, things got easier. Same thing goes for them. And you can give them ideas and be like, hey, this works for me. And it could work for them or could not. They could find their own way. So it makes your life easier if you let go of some of that control. And there's times where I just like kind of like would cringe. I like I said, I would work on those Saturdays, and it was huge for my kids and their dad because they totally had this, like they had dad all to themselves for a few hours, you know, they would spend time with him, and I would get home and they would be wearing like probably the smallest, you know, like the clothes I didn't quite get out of the closet. And I'm like, what? They didn't match. The pants were too short, whatever, the socks. And I'd be like, what in the world are they wearing? And I just so wanted to cringe, but they'd be smiling and laughing and having a good time and clearly, you know, had played and gotten dirty at the park. And I'm like, does it matter what they wore to the park? No.
You know, again, I'm thinking of myself the first Saturday I used to do theater. And it was my first Saturday rehearsal. My son Dan was probably 4 months old. I had pumped, you know, I flowed milk. So pumping for me was nothing. And my children's dad's like, oh yeah, you know, don't worry. I'll get the laundry done. I'll do this. I'll do that. I came home. There was just stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
Dinner wasn't ready. He was going to cook dinner, this and that. I'm like, Dan, so what happened? I thought you were going to do the laundry. You know, the baby. I finished feeding him and then he was pooping and then he wanted to eat again and then he was pooping.
And it's good because then they're not like critical of what you don't do. Yeah.
It was so funny. It was just so funny. And that was the last time he ever said to me, how come dinner's not done? Mm-hmm. Never said another word again, because it was just, he realized, you know, there were days he was an easy baby. Mm-hmm. He napped, but you know, then there were those growth spurt days mm-hmm. where I was nothing but a boob in his mouth.
Yeah.
I couldn't do a thing. The only napping that happened, he napped on me.
He'd
fall asleep and I'd be in the reclining chair asleep with him, or I'd be asleep in the bed with him because mm-hmm. I was completely exhausted yeah. just from his growth spurt. It's a remarkable thing. Again, what a woman's body can do. And I love that you are not only celebrating it, but so often women need the permission to love, mm-hmm. remember to love themselves. Remember that self-care is not selfish.
Right.
And most importantly, women need to remember they are the nucleus.
Yeah.
All of their energy is going to fuel everything going on around them, mm-hmm. you know? And I love the stories in this book. I mean, it really is a good, and so much of it is so relatable.
Oh, so good. Many, yeah, thank
I'm curious,
you.
As I was reading, I was like, thinking of this person, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm wondering if this is my girlfriend Sue. This is kind of like a story she told me. And how many of the stories in your life,
yeah,
the stories in other women's lives too.
Yeah.
They really are. So as we're wrapping everything up, Catherine, what would you like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I just to always just say, you are the best parent for your child. My kids, I have grown so much from being their mom. Like, things, they've pushed me out of my comfort zone in all the best ways. That I'm on this podcast talking about a book I wrote because of a class. Like, I just think of all the things I wouldn't have done without them. And they look up to you and they admire you, and they do not see you for any of the flaws, the things that we see ourselves. So if you could look at yourself through the eyes of your child, I think you would really see such a wonderful parent. So, and I often have to remind myself that too, you know what I mean? Like, cause it's hard. It's a hard job being a parent, and there's a lot of pressures out there. There's a lot of stigma. There's a lot of things that look better than they are. And I think there's more of us that are struggling than aren't struggling. And so how can we support each other and encourage each other through this journey of parenthood? So that would be it.
Absolutely. And you know what? It is about empowering each other. It is about mm-hmm. being that support for each other, because mm-hmm. we all learn from each other every day.
Yeah.
How can people reach out to you, Catherine?
So like you mentioned in the beginning, I'm at Happy With Baby on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find me there. And I also have a Facebook community, is Happy With Baby Community. I do weekly lives, and this month I've been doing interviews with different experts because it's Maternal Mental Health Month. And so just looking at just other ways to support moms and families through this transition. And of course, you can get my book on Amazon or anywhere you can buy books.
There'll be a link. We will have a live link on our show page. I really hope people reach out to you and join your community through this. And it really is a good book.
Oh, thank you.
Stories. And again, so relatable. It just made me. So many things that, you know, I'm a grandparent now. So now I get to reap the reward.
Yes.
You know, Mimi, can we do this? Sure. Can we have that? Yes. My grandson turned 3 and they were like, let him cut his cake. He cut a big piece of cake for himself and I gave it to him. And they were like, I was like, hey, he cut the cake. This is how much he wants. Let him eat his cake. It's his birthday.
Yeah.
You know, I never would have let my kids eat that big a piece of cake.
Right.
In a million years. You know?
Right. Like, well, that's the joys, right?
That's
it's all
exactly
that, it's right. hard being a parent, but you hopefully get the rewards of being a grandparent, huh?
And you know what? I'm blessed because I am with both my grandchildren every week.
Mm,
I have one day, one the other day. And, you know, it is just the most remarkable thing. I mean, because let's face it, the journey of motherhood, it's a lifelong journey.
Yes.
You know, the job doesn't end when your kids turn 18.
No.
You know, legally your job ends, but emotionally the job of mom is a lifelong occupation. And
that's right.
In my opinion, the best job I'll ever have.
Oh,
you know?
I love it.
So, yeah, it is. So Catherine, thank you so much for being here with us today. I really appreciate it. And thank you to Altwell, our sponsor. Go out and take advantage. It's altwell.com, and you can use Altwell Mom for 25% off your first order. You will love their products. And we're going to close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters Bluegrass. So till next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is